Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha
Alhamdulillah, all unqualified praise is due to Allah, thumma alhamdulillah, and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala alayna kitabun mubeen, praise be to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear. Wa kana akhru ma nazala min ayatihi, and revealed in this last ayah, al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum, this day have I perfected for you your way of life. وَرَدِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامِ الدِّينِ, and I have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكِ, His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ, to Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ, in His hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and He has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is His slave, servant, and His messenger. We pray, اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. O Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader, Muhammad, وعلى آله, and upon his family, وصحبه, and upon his companions, أجمعين, all of them. ويا أيها المسلمون, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, وجمعة مبارك. We have some technical issues. What's going on? That's why we're paying big bucks. I'm gonna leave it right here. Too much electromagnetic. Good catch. Alhamdulillah. All right. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإنما على عسر يسرا إنما على عسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلا ربك فارغب صدق الله العظيم الله the mightiest has spoken the truth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says have we not expanded for you your breast and removed from you the burden that did gall your back and raised high the esteem in which you are held so verily with difficulty is relief surely with surely with difficulty there is relief so when you are free from your immediate task still labor hard and to your Lord turn all of your attention a hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the prophet drew a rectangle and in the middle of the rectangle he drew a lengthwise line and at the outer end of it it protruded outside of the rectangle and across the middle line he drew hash marks he drew a number of short lines he indicated that the figure the whole figure the rectangle the long line the hash marks that represented man altogether and the encircling rectangle was death the middle line stood for his desires And the short lines across the middle line were the trials and tribulations of life. He said, if one of these lines, meaning the trials and tribulations of life, he doesn't fall victim to any of them, there's surely one that he will fall victim to. And he said that, meaning that that was the rectangle, which is death. Everybody is going to pass away from this life. So even if you had a life that had no trials and tribulations, you are going to die. But of course, we know that we all have trials and tribulations in life, and that's a part of life. That's life. I mean, literally, that phrase right there, that life. And when you understand it in that context, then you go on thinking, this is what we're speaking to also, what's the best way to live? Since we have to live, we have to have trials and tribulations. It's not going to change until I die. So what's the best way to live? And this is why Allah, among the many things in the last ayah that we cited, where it says, يَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَةً وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ الدِّينَ Allah has said, I have perfected for you your way of life. God said, I did it. You don't have to go through all the philosophies, and you don't have to go through all the research, and you don't have to go, listen, here. Take this way of life, and you got everything in life covered. Okay? A beautiful thing, I have to mention it, in terms of the hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, for the believer, all things are good. Everything is good. So for the believer, everything is good. He said, if he suffers a challenge, a difficulty, or a problem, then they are sabr. They have, quote unquote, translated as patience. They have sabr. But if it's a good thing, they're grateful. Shukr. That gratitude. He said, but this is only for the believer. So it doesn't matter for a believer. Whatever happens for a believer, whether it's a hard thing or an easy thing, he either has sabr or shukr. And that covers their whole life. So natural aspiration should be, I want to be a believer. I want to be a believer. So everything in my life is good, no matter what happens. Moving on. So our subject is continuing on the woman. Continuing on the woman. And we've said, and I'll say it again because repetition is the mother of learning. I have to say it. The woman is a God-given, God-written symbol. She is a symbol, as all things in creation, man too, but we're talking about woman now, right? Woman is an ayat. She is an ayat to be read. I'll say it again so we all together. It's like the sun is an ayat to be read, right? The moon is an ayat to be read. The river is an ayat to be read. Man is an ayat to be read. Okay, woman is an ayat to be read. Who created the woman? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the woman. Allah created the woman, and he, as with all the things that he created, he embedded in them information. There's information in the sun. There's information in the moon. There's information in the river. There's information in the mountains, in the plants, in the birds. There's information. Who put it there? Allah put it there. Scientists bring out certain amount of that information, but then there's also information there that transcends the material knowledge that man can extract from a material thing. You can get so much knowledge out of a rock, but there's certain things that science is not going to tell you about a rock as an ayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I have to harness myself and not go too far down some of these big broadways that open up. But focusing on this surah, surah 94, labeled as Al-Insharah. The meaning of the Quranic Arabic words in the 94th surah of the Quran reveal an outline that we should understand and respond to as regards the nature of life's circumstances. Allah is revealing to us, Allah is telling us, look, he uses Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prophet who received the Quran, he's the first recipient. Okay, so he's the first audience from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah to tell him, look, Muhammad, did we not raise you? Did we not expand your breast? Did we not remove the burden that was on your back? So verily with difficulty comes relief. God repeats it. Verily with difficulty comes relief. So when you finish dealing with this one, get ready for the next one. And always turn your attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are rules to live by. Do you understand? Those are rules to, oh man, look what I'm going through. Oh, whoa, whoa. Okay, look, you know what? You need to handle that because there's another one coming. Alhamdulillah, we'll take that, but it's a blessing. See, when things like that happen, that's Allah, for me, that's Allah saying, you got it, you're right, keep going, boy, and that's what I'm going to do. So the idea is that's life. And so the prophet is used as a model, as a conduit to tell us, look, all y'all should live this way. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٍ حَسَنًا. You have in Muhammad an excellent model example to follow. Look at what he went through. And look at how he handled what he went through. And listen to my instruction to him as to how to handle what he was going through. Now you emulate him. And I do need to make this distinction. There's a difference between emulation and imitation. Imitation is where you're just trying to, you know, just mirror, literally, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are those who mirror what they perceive to be Muhammad literally, but they don't see the uswatun hasana. They don't see the excellence that is in, as God says, fi Rasulullah, in the Messenger of Allah, an excellent model to follow. So we have to be conscious of the Prophet's uswa, and so that we can emulate and follow it. So God said, he told the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is life. He told him that's life. فَإِنَّمَا عَلُوا سُرِي يُسْرَى. Verily with difficulty comes relief, and then he repeats it. All right. So, Looking at the woman as we have been, this is part 7. This meaning can be derived from all aspects of the woman's life. That is, instructions and directions and guidance for our life just by understanding phenomena in the woman's life. Very, very important. Last week we promised and we did. You go on Facebook Live, Iman Fahim Show at Facebook, and you can have the fuller discussion of what I'm not going to talk about now, but I'll just raise it so you can understand that there is a definite connection from the beginning to the end of our conjugal relations. Conjugal relations between, of course, man and wife. But the term Iqra is rooted in those three continents. Qara'a, three letters. Qara'a, the woman's cycle. The term for a woman's cycle is kuru'un. Kuru'un. And when you understand what's going on physiologically with the cycle, and when you also overlay that physiological process that is the woman's cycle, and when you overlay that with Prophet Muhammad in the cave and the angel Jibril bringing the revelation, and then the prophet coming down from the hill and wrapping himself up, arising and warning, all of that you can see in relationship to the woman's cycle. Also, one aspect, I'm just hitting it and moving on. If you want the fuller expression, find Imam Fahim Shuaib on Facebook from last Saturday. The Quran says, they ask you concerning women's courses, and the Quran says, stay away from them. They are a hurt and a pollution. Many men, many Muslim men, make the mistake of thinking that it's saying, stay away from the woman. She's a hurt and a pollution. No, that's not correct. All the grammar tells you who's the subject, who's the object, and all the rest of that. And we spent time on that. But there is an interpretation and understanding of staying away from a woman when she's on her cycle, when you see a society that rejects revelation. If you understand that the cycle in the reading, the cycle represents a society that has rejected revelation, you want to stay away from that society until it's clean. So in terms of their values, in terms of their culture, in terms of their ideas, in terms of their philosophy, in terms of all the rest of that, you, if you're living in a society that's on its cycle, you need to stay away from that society. Okay, so much for that. So the issue that we want to speak to today, if by Allah's grace we're able to get to the first verse, we'll do that. I didn't set my timer, so I know you will appreciate this, right? Okay. It's like that NBA, reset the clock. Okay, so we got it. Okay. So we're past the cycle. Let me say this to especially married men, fathers of daughters, etc. It's very important. I recommend the book for you. I'm recommending it to you because it's just so clarifying. It was so clarifying for me decades ago, and some of us need that clarification right now. We really need to understand the nature of the woman's cycle, what literally happens to her psychologically and emotionally on her cycle. I won't go through all the numbers and the like, but the point is, when you understand the emotional whiplash that a woman actually goes through when she has her cycle, the mood swings, quote unquote, that she has on her cycle, you'll have a very different understanding. And when you understand these times that we're in, the so-called modern times, the post-pill time that we're in, it will deepen your appreciation. So the book is Brain Sex by Anne Moir, M-O-I-R. And I don't care if you don't read nothing else in the book. Just read the section about the cycle, and you'll be in better shape if you don't understand it at all. So looking at the verse itself, the chapter is also sometimes entitled Ash-Shahr, translated as the relief, as the expansion, as the opening forth, and other translations. And what the chapter discusses are themes of easing of a burden, the expansion of the heart, and the pairing of hardship with relief. Dear brothers and sisters, I think if we can be doubtless about this one statement that I'm about to make, your life would actually just improve just immediately. Allah says, "Who الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن العمل." Allah said, see, Allah hasn't kept any secrets. He hasn't hidden anything from us. He said, "I created you into toil and struggle." He says, "You verily you are toiling from stage to stage, but you will meet your Lord." So God has not kept it. Why is life so hard? Life is what it is. That you have some hard times, like, hey, welcome to life. He wouldn't have a hard time, you'd be dead. And if you hadn't handled it while you were alive, it was going to be much harder after you pass through that door. But I'm not going to say that. The idea is God, he created the death and the life to try which of you is best in conduct. Life is a trial. Life is not a party, just in case you don't know it yet. Life ain't no party. It's not a party. People try to make life a party, and you see what happens to them. Life ain't a party. So stop trying to make life a party. It's not a party. It's mixed with good times and bad times. That's life. Well, why it is? Well, that's a trial. That's what it's called, a trial. But not that. Yeah. If it wasn't hard, it wouldn't be a trial. You don't get credit for easy stuff. You enjoy the easy stuff. But when the hard stuff comes, you don't say, oh, this shouldn't be. Why? God said, verily do we send days of varying fortune to men and men by turns to see which of you is best in conduct. Why me? Why now? It's your turn. You can reject it if you want to, but then you fall out of that category of a believer. Because for a believer, it's all good. So this chapter is central to, and mashallah, I have seen among us, especially reverse converts, people new to Al-Islam, etc., who, like, we have latched on to that in some measure. Yeah, well, barely with difficulty is relief. That's alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. That's wonderful. That's a powerful base. That's a powerful basic. That if, when you have difficulty, you remind yourself, well, in the matter of usri yusra, good. You got the heart of it. Okay, now, level up. Level up in your understanding of that, which is what we're trying to help do right now. So, inshara is a term that means also joy, relaxation, delight, glee. The root word, or the root base stem, sharaha. It also carries the meaning to please, to comfort, and to relieve. There's a lot of possibilities for salaciousness and the like in what we're saying, what we're talking about. I have absolutely, positively no intention to do that. But a part of what's wrong with this world right now is that this world doesn't understand sexuality. This world does not understand sexuality. Do I have any fear of being doubted in that statement? No. I have no fear of being doubted. I got a whole documentary based on what is a woman. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. It's like, these people marching down the road, equal rights, and God got one question. Well, okay, well, what is a woman? Oh, get out of here. You're making me feel uncomfortable. I just asked you a question, and you're here marching for equal rights, and I'm just asking you, what's a woman? Okay, so you know the rest of it. All you got to do is read the headlines and see how crazy it is. Now, that being said, it's time for us to, especially for Muslims, listen, Muslim, fitratullahi lati fatara nasa alayha. Our way of life is the way of life that's patterned in nature. That's our way of life. The life that is a pattern in nature. So the fitr as it relates to woman, do we know that? The fitr as it relates to man, do we know that? That's what we need to know. Because if I am a Muslim, but beneath my kufi is a misunderstanding of what a man is. Beneath my scarf is, speaking as a woman, beneath that scarf is a misunderstanding of what a woman is. How are we going to build ummah when we don't know how men and women are to be together dynamically in the creation such as it is? Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created us, mashallah, listen, we're all born naked. Nobody was born with clothes on. We're all born naked. And we're all born in the form that Allah decided that we would be in. Allah decided men will look like this and women will look like that. Woman's form, khalaqa fasawwa wa qaddara fahada. Allah gave everything its form. Khalaqa fasawwa, and God gave everything a place within the universal system. Fasawwa wa qaddara. He gave everything a potential to grow from simple to complex. Fahada. And he gave everything a role in his guidance. There's guidance from Allah in the body of a woman. There's guidance from Allah in the body of a man. We are just symbols. In the scheme of things, we are symbols. But you have to ikra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. You have to read the symbol according to the intent of the writer. Allah wrote us. And since he wrote us this way, we should be reading it to say, God, what are you trying to tell me? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the revelation and says, I'm going to tell you what I'm telling you about your form. In this instance, with its many different facets, in this instance, we're focused on the woman. So go back to this term, sharraha, the root term of the sharraha. See if you hear in this definition of this base term anything that would relate to the woman. To please, to comfort, to relieve. If you got a problem with that, you have never met a woman and you might need to, either you got to grow up. Y'all work that out, okay? If you've never been pleased by a woman, if you've never been comforted by a woman, if you've never been relieved by a woman, well, then you haven't met a woman yet. I'm going to leave it right there. So, mashraha is the operating room. Mashraha is the operating room. But before that, I want to go ahead, staying in line with what I mentioned before, the classical Arabic terms, these two terms, shurayhun, shurayhun, and mashrahun, is the proper name for the female genitalia. That's the original classic term for the female genitalia, from the same root that the name of this chapter comes from, sharh, ashar, and al-inshara. So the connection is natural. It's not forced. It's natural. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he received the revelation in the cave, and then he came down, he came to Khadija, and he told Khadija, wrap me up. Wrap me up. And what did she do? She comforted him. She relieved him of his anxiety, his fear, his self-doubt. That's another thing that the good woman does for the man. She comforts him. She relieves. I'm talking about with words and compassion and empathy and sympathy, etc., whatever the case may be. Why? Because it's her nature to do that. It's her nature to do that. And so in that particular model, we see that actually literally happening with the prophet. But then this also encourages us in following the logic of the situation that, okay, well then there's something about the physiology of the woman and that being connected directly with her reproductive system. God is telling us something. So when we read it, and I say following with the idea that, okay, what can I read out of this that tells me how I should live? What can I read out of this that tells me how I should live? Because you have to ask yourself, how do you get the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without reading? That's why the first word of the revelation is Iqra. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord. Don't read in the name of Hugh Hefner. I got to get you clear. Or Nicki Minaj. I know I just triggered all the rest of those images there. But if you read in the name of your Lord, when you think about the female genitalia, then it's not salacious. They have the nerve to call this stuff adult entertainment. That's for children. You know, it's not for children. I guess it's time to end this part of the khutbah. It's not for, but it's for people who are infantile and adolescent at some level. Because that development has not yet completed to have the right reference and the right relationship with their own and the organs of others. But it's an industry, isn't it? So closing this portion of the khutbah, Mashraha is the operating room, right? Mashraha is operating room. You know, the place where you have babies. Huh? And then Ilmu Tashrih is the science of anatomy. It's the science of anatomy. Okay? When we understand these and know how to read out of it, so it gives us a frame. The frame is, it's telling us about the woman, it's telling us about the nature of the woman, it's telling, when we read and understand it, how to apply what we read out from the woman and act out in the world. It's called scriptural supported social logic. I'll say it again in close. Scriptural supported social logic. What that means, in fact, is read the scripture, abstract the logic from the scripture that applies to your society, and then act it out. The scripture says this, so I'm going to act this way. When you do it that way, you are acting in accordance with scriptural supported social logic. Otherwise, you're not being guided by the Quran if you're just... You're just dependent on somebody's interpretation of the words. You have to get after what Allah's information, that is Allah's information that he actually put in the thing. And that's why, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. We ask Allah, show us the straight way. We ask God for guidance. And when Allah guides us, inshallah, we can't be led astray. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. آمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله. Let's see if we can. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We get to verse 1. ألم نشرح لك صدرك؟ ألم نشرح لك صدرك؟ نشرح. You hear it in there. ألم نشرح لك صدرك؟ Have we not expanded for you your breath is an expression of it. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Have we not expanded for you your breath? Okay. Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayhi, he's my teacher, so I cite him often. He said, so we have to do that. This is scripture supported social logic. So we have to do that. What? Open up our hearts Muhammad had a big heart before God called him. And then after God called him, God said, have we not expanded for you your breast? MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Why was Muhammad in the cave in the first place? For those of you who may not know, the Prophet would often take retreat into Jabr al-Nur, called the Cave of Hira, the Mountain of Light, right? He would escape from what he saw happening in his world. Not out of fear or just pure monasticism or anything like that. It's just like, something's wrong here. This needs to be fixed. This needs to be corrected. Do you ever find yourself in that mood, in that spirit? Do you ever feel like, damn, if I had a magic wand, I'd just wave it and this stuff be gone? Do you ever feel the need to change the world? Suggestion. We're not going to change it by hating it. Work with that. We're not going to change it by hating it. Give you one of my college words. Enantiodromia. Don't ask me to spell it, though. Enantiodromia. Look it up. But I'll tell you, it's in essence what it means. It means the tendency of things to become what they oppose. So you don't want to get enantiodromic. So the imam goes on, he says, have we not expanded your breath and enlarged it more? Revelation from God enlarged his heart more and his breast more so that he could take the whole of humanity into his own heart. Come on, Muslims. Yes, there's a lot of horrible, horrible things going on in the world now. It's been going on for millennia. It was going on in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet to be in a certain way, and that was the way that he was until he passed from this world. And the Prophet did not instruct us to hate our enemies. I know I'm working with some stuff that might challenge some of your sensibilities, some of you. But in reality, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his breast was open to the entire of humanity. And it expanded, the imam says, to take the whole universe into his own concern and to respect it and serve God's purpose and direction for mankind and for society in it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was an occasion where he was sitting with a group of Muslims and the funeral for a Jew came by. And when the funeral for the Jew came by, he stood up for that. The only other place I really saw some respect for the bodies that has passed, that was in Oklahoma City when I saw it the first time. Oklahoma, and a funeral came by, everybody pulled over to the side. I had never seen, I'm California, right? Pull over to the side, what? I mean, that's how much respect was there for the person who had passed from this life. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stood up and he said, well, Prophet, he's a Jew. The Prophet said, isn't he a person? Huh? Isn't he a nafs? You're a nafs, I'm a nafs. Isn't he a nafs? We have to respect the humanity. Every conflict that we see in the world that we wish was not the case right now, just imagine this as a potential solution and also the crux of the problem. Is it not the case that wherever these conflagrations are going on right now, that neither side sees the other side as human? What would be the case if both saw each other? I'm not just talking about one. I know we have a tendency to focus on one, and they're all bad. But if everyone decided, these are human beings. How can you do that to a human being? How can you be human and do that to other human beings Do you think they're thinking like that? No. Each side dehumanizes the other side. And the more successful I am at dehumanizing you, then the easier it is for my natural human conscience to feel no guilt or shame regarding my abuse and genocide as relates to you. Right? I think about Hotel Rwanda, whatever was going on there. We don't have to talk about all the other folks. It's like, where was it happening? Places where human beings are inhuman to each other. So the prophet had this equality. We're going to have to move to conclude today. We'll get to the signs of, okay, we'll do a little more of this maybe tomorrow on the blog talk, maybe. I'm going to conclude with these hadith for us to be familiar with. The point is that we need to become more loving. I'm using the simplest, most fundamental. Do we really know? Look, if we don't understand about our very gender and our very biological identities, do we really understand love? I mean, really? I think of a blues song right now. Some of y'all don't know nothing about blues, but I'll tell you. Let me give you stuff. Love is so much better when you're stealing it. So he's telling you, hey, he's not, right? So it's like, that ain't love. Right? So we need to know what love is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you might think you love your husband, but you don't. You might think you love your wife, but you don't. You might think you love your children, but you don't. You can't prove that until you look at the definition of that love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and look at your behavior towards your loved ones and your beloved and see if it matches up. And if it doesn't match up, therein lies the work. And this is what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called all humanity to do with this expansion of his breath. He was already there, but Allah gave him revelation to support that nature. The ummi nature, feminine. The ummi prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, none of you is a Muslim until you love for your brother, includes the sisters, what you love for yourself. And the prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will not enter paradise until you believe. And you will not believe until you're motivated by love. And then the prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall I inform you of something which if you do it, you will love one another? He said, increase the greetings amongst yourselves. None of this, assalamu alaikum, what? Open your mouth. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Wa alaikum assalam. Increase the greetings among assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. And if somebody hits you with that, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, then you hit him with assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuhu. And if they hit you with assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuhu, you hit him with assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuhu wa maghfiratuhu. Allahu Akbar. Not only may the peace that Allah give be with you, but may Allah's peace be with you. May Allah's mercy be with you. May Allah's blessing be with you. And may his forgiveness be with you. It's a prayer. And it's legislation. It's legislation. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm reminding you of the law. The law is you are obligated to preserve the peace. And then we remind each other. And you are also obligated to maintain the peace. And it don't stop there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says if you want to increase the love amongst you, give gifts to each other, and you will love each other. Yeah, yeah, yeah. In some levels, well, yeah, I gotta admit, we're not Catholics, we're Muslims. But when last time you gave your wife a gift? I mean, just straight up, and it wasn't her birthday. It wasn't your anniversary. It wasn't Mother's Day. You just showed up with a gift. Maybe that'll increase the love, if the prophet is true. So, yeah, now I know you're going to do it. I can feel you already. Yeah, I'm going to run up in the house. Couple of days. I'm going to let it get cool for a minute, but I'm going to come up in the house. I'm going to be bearing gifts. Yeah. Do that. Do you want the love to grow? Right? And last thing I'll also say. There's a book. I think his name is Gary Chapman or whatever. It's useful. Watch out for the fish bones. But it's called Love Languages. I find it useful. I recommend it. But sometimes gifts are not the only things that say I love you to your beloved. Sometimes spending time with them says I love you to your beloved. Sometimes words of kindness and love is love to your beloved. Sometimes just touching, sometimes just being in contact physically, sometimes acts of service say I love you to your beloved. So I'm asking, do you know your beloved's love language? Do you know what makes them feel loved and that you love them? If you don't know, you have to hurry and find out. And then speak that language. له لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Allah, please guide us, help us, enable us to learn how to love each other for your sake. Allah, bless us to learn how to love ourselves. Bless us to learn how to love each other. Bless us to learn how to love our women. Bless us to learn how to love our men. Bless us to learn how to love our wives. Bless us to learn how to love our husbands. Bless us to learn how to love our children. Bless us to learn how to love the way of life that you have given us. O Allah, enlighten us. Abstract us from the darkness and bring us into the light. We beg your aid and assistance in all things, for without your aid and assistance, we are lost and helpless. We beg this of you only, for none can grant what hold is but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa akim as-salam. Allahu akbar.
Oh, الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمد رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning for University of Major Leadership. Alhamdulillah, we just aired yesterday's recording of Jumu'ah Live from Masjid Wathin, Oakland, California, part 7 of The Woman. And that conversation, with Allah's help and permission, we will be continuing part of it today and part of it in the weeks to come. Our hope and our prayer is that we have the opportunity to get through just that chapter. I mean, there's just so much of a message in it, and about the nature of the woman and what we can learn from reading and applying the meaning in our life in the world. That is the plan. And we pray Allah blesses us to do so. But before continuing this morning, we can only do that with your input. So go ahead and push one, come on through, give us your comments respecting the protocols that have been restructured, and everything will be and continue to be beautiful. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and to your very astute radio listening audience. Mark Shahid from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And just once again, I want to commend you on a part excellent Kutbah in this series on the woman. Each and every Kutbah you're given, Allah is blessing you to continuously add on. It's just really multiplying. And I think one of the, you said so many valuable things, and I know I only have the 3 minutes, but you know, one of the things in terms of the scholarly approach, as Imam Muhammad said, always utilizing the Quran first and foremost. I want you to know, I, as a student, I have observed that in you in that regard. And then looking at the natural creation in terms of how Allah has created the woman. And then paralleling that in terms of her cycle with the society, you know, that when it can be a hurt and can be a harm when it's unclean, to stay away from that because it can't produce good results at that point. Also, I also recommend on my production, Dr. Gary Chapman, The 5 Universal Love Languages, which is very important. But one of the things I want to say also, in addition to that, one of the keys and foundations that we all have to have, and that's both Muslim men and Muslim women and right-minded people, the foundation for that is to love Allah, to love Allah. And in loving Allah, you know, loving his word of revelation, guidance to us, and embodied in that is his will and his plan for us. And also the way that we have to live and interact with each other, and then work for God's cause. That will help and shape us to the best man, the best woman, the best husband, the best wife, and the best father, the best mother, best family member, best neighbor, community member, et cetera, et cetera, in that regard. And it just has a natural progression in that. And then knowing those love languages, you have to identify what is your primary love language. And then you have to find and uncover what is your spouse's primary love language. And all of them are keys, you know, in terms of that. So thank you so much. I know my 3 minutes, I'm right at it. I can have that feel. So this is excellent. part excellent. We're doing that on the True Love Recipe. We're actually on U5, you know, and I studied the Quran and got a lot of those principles, a lot of those qualities, characteristics, and the life example of the Prophet and the Tafsir, Imam Muhammad. That's the foundation that I use for putting that together. Thank you. May Allah continue to you and us. Assalamu alaikum. And Brother Imam, thank you once again for emphasizing that hadith. It is a beautiful hadith because not only is that a greeting, but that is a dua. And assalam, as you well know, is one of the 99 known attributes of Allah. Assalam, Allah is the source of peace and also blessings, the mercy, and also the barakas, the blessings, all of that comes from Allah. So when we extend in that, we're actually making a dua. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa maghfiratuhu. My brother, thank you. Alhamdulillah. Bring me to our always useful comment and reminder from our brother Mark Shaheed from the STL. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, so give another opportunity for anyone who wants to make a comment. Absent that, we're going to go ahead and augment what we've already said with some. We're going to be very anatomically, biologically, physiologically focused on this morning, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to briefly pay attention to the Blog Talk studio. So if you have a comment, you should push one on your phone. Come on through. If not, then I'm going to go on with some additional commentary from our notes, things that were in the offing yesterday, but based on time and circumstance, it seemed not to be the, didn't have sufficient time to do that. In fact, it wasn't until later I realized, you actually went pretty long yesterday, longer than expected. That's because I failed to set my timer beforehand, and I was guessing on how much time I had left. So I was a little more generous with myself in terms of, well, you still got this amount of time. But no, that was the case. Let's see. I got my notes up here. I think this is my brother Ron.
You got it at that. Okay. Yeah, assalamu alaikum. I'm going to take off my lab coat today, brother, and I'm going to put on my bonnet.
Okay, go ahead.
My war bonnet.
Okay.
The Indians, when they were preparing for war and to go into combat, the chief would put on that big old headdress with all the feathers to go into battle, that was called a war bonnet. I noticed in your lecture, in your kupa, you was talking about the trials and the tribulations, and I remember something that Captain Ali Rashid used to say. He used to say, brother, you need to pray. You need to pray that when the trial comes, when the test comes, that you don't turn on your heels and run like a hypocrite.
Right, or a coward. Yeah.
I am deeply affected by the murder of my brother in New Jersey.
Yeah.
That is something that we all have to pay attention to, because he was killed in a place that is not just a building full of rituals. That's a place where we have our women and our children.
Mm-hmm.
We really have to go back to being the type of having the type of mentality that we had when we were in the house of Elijah,
mm-hmm.
where it was said that we chewed nails with our coffee, man.
Mm-hmm.
When we find these people from now on that are violating our space in our gatherings, we need to do like a wide receiver. You know, a wide receiver, when he is
mm-hmm.
catching a pass and he's near the boundary, he looks down to check where his feet is at.
Yeah.
We need to start, when we're catching these people, checking to make sure our feet is in bounds, make sure
yeah.
our feet is on this side of the law, make
right.
sure our feet are in accordance with the Quran, and then
yeah.
we need to start making these perpetrators pay a mighty price for disturbing
yeah.
our
yeah.
peace, like we used to.
Yeah.
Now, I know this is the month of the birthday of Martin Luther King, and so be that. We have to
yeah.
start getting back to the mentality of thinking in terms of Malcolm, Imam Jamil El-Amin, and Sister
mm-hmm.
Clara Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
They have to start paying a price, man, when they violate our peace. So I urge the believers to prepare for war, because we're being tested. We're being tested, in my opinion, because of a lot of things, but especially because of the position that we're taking on what's going on in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
They're testing us. And if we don't pass this test, if we fail this test, then history is going to be repeated.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah.
So I'm going to stop right there. And just wanted to put that out there. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah. Let me take this other comment. I'll make a brief comment on that, even though I wasn't asked, but I will have something to say. This Fahmi?
Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, Brother Ron, he I wasn't going to punch in, but, of course, what he said made me have to chime in.
Yeah.
What's going on now is, like I said, it's very important that we do pay attention, and I'm not going to repeat what Brother Ron said, but those of us, a lot of our masjids are, I'm assuming, are in the hood. And
yeah.
And by this man being killed is bigger than that, because at one point, you know, that area, you know, it was almost like off limits. You know, because we were the big brother, and also because of what we represented. I remember
yeah.
here, you know, when those armed people were going to the mosque, standing out front, they said they will come to our mosque and do it, and we had all kinds of Black Panthers, we had everybody. Like, okay, come on, bring it, and they changed their mind. So
mm-hmm.
I think what Brother Ron was saying is very important. It's bigger than what, you know, what happened, and I pray for the family. But we do have to be more
yeah.
vigilant and get back to the point where, you know, where that's like, man, that's unheard of. So that's what I want
yeah.
to add. Thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah, yes. I'm sure most of you who are on this broadcast, you are aware by now. There's an imam now. I don't have details. Imam Hassan Sharif, Rahimahullah alayhi, recently installed as the resident imam of the Masjid Muhammad on South Orange Avenue in Newark. If there's anybody online, you got some bona fides showing up details. Different and only differing from what we already know is published. So I don't know the circumstance. I don't know
the specific location. When I say specific location, was he inside, outside, parking lot, you know, et cetera, all the rest of it. Don't have those details, so I can't give those details. If somebody got those details, then okay, alhamdulillah, we're kind of as a public service. But don't call me with your report from maybe I heard a brother say blah blah. I don't want it. I'm not going to entertain that. I'm not going to be time for that kind of response. So I'm warning you in advance, okay? Because the sensitive nature of this, the herd mentality and, you know, the whole issue of false flags, which I haven't gotten into, but this is chess, not checkers. I'm trying to put it with you to understand it. So I'm not quick to respond viscerally or with a knee-jerk reaction to it, because that's also a part of the tripwire that those who want to get the herd running in a certain way blindly off the cliff. I'm not going to be party to it, but I want us to be aware, you know, absolutely. My first call wasn't to nobody but the security team, community service team here, and alhamdulillah, they were already in touch with the network of community service security people in the Bay Area. So they were already tied in, already locked in at a time before I would have even actually thought they had that information. Alhamdulillah, a great underestimation. I'm glad I underestimated that. So that's very important. Also, in terms of, history is what it is, right? There was another, the fascination most time when I hear it spoken of, and I know there's a lot of background. I'm not inviting nobody to come and retell that story. Don't even try. If you go there, I'm going to cut you off, okay? I mean, I'm trying to be clear to you. Yes, the Son of Thunder, James Shabazz, was assassinated. A lot of stories, et cetera, about that. And what Brother Ron was saying, that very move, the move that was made, the way that was addressed in Newark at that time is exactly the way that Brother Ron was saying. It's like, man. It's like, come on. I won't go over it, but you just take my man, take that to mean, yeah, they did all that, turn over rocks and go into basements and go into attics and go into the dope dens, and that is, we going to find out what went down here. So I'm sure Newark has that experience, and everybody ain't on canes and walkers in Newark who was a part of that team. Right, I know that spirit is still in Newark, inshallah, even if the spirit is willing and the flesh might be weak. I think that there are still some generations there that know about that. And I'm saying all this in absence of not knowing what the actual cause was. But you do. It is does call for a vigilance. You know, and we were told in the Nation of Islam, and I agree 100%, that, you know, sometimes we threw the baby out with the bathwater. Not the imam, that wasn't his intention, but sometimes we threw out the baby with the bathwater, and that's so much of stuff. There was stuff I grew up with and that I quote-unquote learned, you know, quote-unquote from the streets. I just put it like that. It's like, shoot, I needed that kind of protection, emphasis, perception, et cetera, in the Temple of Islam and in the world community of Islam in the West, and in all these years of being the leader of a community for 40 years or so. Yeah, I had to take advantage of, okay, you remember, you know, those who know don't say, and those who say don't know, and so many other little aphorisms and proverbs that you got from the street that told you, it's like, you know, all the glitters ain't gold, you know, all the rest of it, you know, every shut eye ain't sleep, every open eye ain't woke, blah, blah. Those little things help you out, game, recognize game. Yeah, same way with the Nation of Islam. There's some things, yeah, you better hold on to that or you're going to get played out, right? Hold on to it. Don't throw that over. The other piece right there, let that go. But that right there, you got to hold on to. Be wise as a serpent and humble as a dove, all right? That's what we're told. Quran tells us. Well, the Bible tells us, watch as well as pray, right? Watch as well as pray. So we got that. And the Quran tells us, that is, when you're in a situation like that, some of y'all pray and others of you, you're supposed to be on post. You watch, right? And then when they finish, okay, now you go and you pray, and now they watch for you, right? And also when you go to war, Islamically speaking, of course you do it in the spirit, as Ron was talking about with the 2 feet inbound. You go to war according to the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam modeled for us. Otherwise, you're doing something else. But at the same time, it says that when you do go to war, you know, then you operate in the manner as prescribed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I'm not advocating go to war, but you have to be in a state of readiness. Listen, 2024 is, it ain't even got as crazy, mashallah, that situation, again, which we don't know the details of it, and that's what. But I was already, mashallah, and I'm saying, this is no boast, it's just a fact, you know I've said it. 2024, it ain't even got as crazy as it's going to get coming into the election year. And then you got all of us, and there's so many other things that are going on. So there are many, many reasons beyond Newark that we need to be posted up, ready in all the ways that we have to be. I mean, what's going on economically? There's some serious economic things in the offing, both good and bad. And if you're not ready, it's really, really something. So, yeah, so tightening up is absolutely necessary right now. So as I mentioned the Quran, that the Imam, rahimahullah, where the Imam said, he talked about, he said, the believers are those who are soft as milk with the believers, but hard as stone against the hypocrites, right? He's speaking of that verse. And he's saying part of the nature of that revelation, the Asbab al-Nuzul, right? A part of the reason for that revelation coming down was that, yes, the Muslims were very much, most of the Prophet's life and time was covered by war. That's why people make the mistake, those who are, you know, revisionists, quote unquote, of the history, et cetera, or people who want to besmirch the name and the character and reputation of the Prophet, they say, well, he's the desert warlord, right? The Prophet, just like we were told in the Nation of Islam, you know, don't initiate the problem, but fight with those who fight with you, you know. So it's only, you know, you only reacting and said, you don't mess with me, you know, and you know, you don't start none, won't be none. And so go back to the hood. So in terms of that, however, yes, there was much war situation. So when you start thinking about the adrenaline, you start about the neurochemicals and all the things that go on with having to fight. So you have these fight chemicals in your blood. When you come back to the community, you can still be in that warrior's spirit and tone and attitude even amongst and between the believers. You got to tone that down. When you come back to the community, even after war, when you come back to the community, don't come back like you. Now you're still in a warrior mode, you know, with the humble believers, right? No, okay? Be soft as milk with the believers, but hard as stone with the hypocrites and those who oppose you. So all of this is balanced. All of this, you have to have that balance. And we're gonna do that. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, alaikum assalam, Brother Imam. In respect to all that you say, alhamdulillah, I was on Imam Yusuf Ramadan's program this past Thursday. You know, Imam Yusuf Ramadan is very well respected in the community, and he was in direct contact with the believers there in Newark. And what was reported by them was is that Imam Hassan Sharif never came inside. He had pulled up on the parking lot, and he was inside his car, and it was reported that he was speaking, he was talking to his wife when he was assassinated. And that we do know outside of just what you said, nobody has any details. There's two investigations going on, of course, one by the law enforcement there. The mayor came out. That's right. You were in the Time to Be Grateful there in the Meadowlands in Newark, and you heard how he spoke and his commitment at any cost to try to bring the perpetrator or perpetrators to justice, but also the Muslim community and conducting their own investigation there. One of the things Imam Yusuf Ramadan did say, and I think we should take caution, don't be so quick to want to say something if a camera is pushed in your face in regards to that, at the manipulation of media to get an emotional response. You can't respond when you don't have details. You don't know everything. And it could trigger off other things, ramifications in speaking out of place. And I think that was, and I said to Imam Yusuf Ramadan, I concur 100%. So we have to be patient until that investigation is conducted thoroughly and get some details in regards to that. We all are hurt and saddened by that, and our prayers go out to his family and the community there. I do know that he was well respected in the community, worked on, you know, interfaith dialogue, very well respected. It's a loss to that community. It's a loss to us, too. But we can't speak out prematurely. I just wanted to just say that in that regard. But in this report, he never got in, and he was coming to Salatu Fajr, but he never made it inside. Yes, yes, sir. I just wanted to give that information because you did ask, was he inside, was he outside, and everything. Yeah. And yeah, so the security has to be heightened. Like you said, we have to be prepared for any and everything that may happen, and we're not exempt, you know, from these things happening in our community. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, alhamdulillah, let's say this as well. We've already said, you know, so much, but let's say just this much more. Let's make sure you keep your al-Islam. It's like when tragic things happen, it's most certainly you inshallah your ideal and your intention is to live the religion day by day by day, every day, right? But sometimes, you know, life is so stable and steady and so consistent and so undisturbed and unperturbed that in some ways you can kind of forget at some level, you know, that even in that state and condition, you ought to be practicing Islam. But you can get comfortable and the need to, according to some Islamic principle, is not called for so much per se. But then when a tragic moment happens and it unsettles that homeostasis, tomato, tomato, it upsets it, then now you have to bring what you know of Islam. You have to be conscious of bringing what you know about Islam in that moment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a woman whose husband and whose son had been killed in one of the battles, And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had come to console her. She was in the midst of the throes of her loss, her sense of loss. And the Prophet came to her and he said, "Usbir, usbir," said, you know, have sabr, be patient, right? And the woman said, "Get away from me. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm suffering." So the Prophet, mashallah, he went away. And then people came to her and said, "Do you know who that was that was speaking to you?" And then when she was told it was the Prophet, she felt really bad. And so she went to the Prophet to apologize and ask forgiveness. And the Prophet said to her, having sabr, that is that state, that condition of sabr, is being in a state of God consciousness at the very moment of the loss. Yeah, it's in that particular, right then, right there, in that moment, which your response could be from a habit mind, or your response could be from the natural intuitive response to loss. It's natural. But the sabr, that state that we say that we have to be in when we suffer great loss, that sabr, the Prophet is saying, it happens right there. There's a moment that we may not be aware of, but this is what the learning is. That we may not be aware of. No, it's in that moment. It's not later. It's right there in that moment. That's when you, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's when you remember Allah in that very moment. The focus is not the loss. The focus is Allah. Because we know that nothing lives or dies except by the will of, when we remember this, nothing lives or dies except by the will of Allah, that is, by the permission of Allah, etc. And no one will live an hour beyond or die an hour before it was Allah's intention for that to be the case. So anybody who passes away, inna lillahi, inna ilayhi raji'un, they were not going to live. That was already written. The pen was lifted and the ink is dry. It's like, and this is the qadr, right? These are our beliefs in al-Islam. You know, if you're looking for some full-blown rational explanation that makes you okay with this, that, or other, it's not that. It's a belief that you embrace and you accept in Islam. So it's the qadr. That was what was written for him. That was what was written when the angel wrote, right? Go ahead and review those hadiths again to be reminded that these things were written for you, me, him, her. That's it, right? So these are the things that we have to remember in moments like this. Because when we forget those things in that moment, that's when the shaitan can come in and wreak havoc in our life as a community and as individuals, because he said many do mislead men by their appetites unchecked by knowledge. We have to harness, the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, none of you is a believer until his urges and impulses follow what I have brought. There is an impulse, or not just the pleasure impulses or the greed impulses or what have you. No, it's also the inclination for revenge and for anger. I saw a statement in the chat that said, don't be angry. And that's true, with a qualification. When the Prophet said, la taghdab, don't be angry, he's saying, don't act in anger. Don't act in anger. Because if and when you go to war and you have to do what you have to do, it's like, no, it's not out of anger. That same neurochemical that makes me be as aggressive as I need to be, yeah, that's going to come up in my nervous system so I can do what I got to do in terms of that. But my conscience is for God, right? There's a story I heard it said in a number of different ways. That the Ali, I've heard it said of Ali, and I also heard it said of a shogun. But in any case, the idea was that the Ali in the story that I'm remembering, it's like he was chasing down one of the enemies, right? And the enemy was taunting, and it was going, and then when Ali had him, you know, right ready to put that last slash of his sword, right? The person spit on him. And Ali sheathed his sword, right? And he went away. And the person said, "What's up? Why you? First you go, now you ain't gonna kill me." And Ali said, "When I was gonna kill you the first time, I was gonna kill you for the sake of Allah. Spit in my face. I wasn't sure if I was killing you for me or for the sake of Allah, so I sheathed my sword." Right? And it's that kind of control. Omar had that kind of control. But you know what, Omar Farouk, he's the one that made the difference. And we know his history. When he became the Khalif and the expansion of the Islamic Ummah, right? And again, all those people want to make Muslims like warlords. Again, so like many times, the Muslims had the obligation to establish justice wherever they were. And many times, Muslims were called into a situation where either some Muslims were being abused or the people themselves invited the Muslims in because they were being imposed upon. So Omar, you know, he had that spirit. So the idea is for us to act. And taqwa is that la'alakum tattaqun, Ramadan, right? La'alakum tattaqun, having the consciousness that Allah would have in you. This is taqwa. Don't just think taqwa is for dhikr and for salat and etc. Taqwa is for everything. Taqwa is for everything. When you make war, you have to have taqwa. When you do business, you have to have taqwa. When you have ritual life, you have taqwa. Family, taqwa. Taqwa and everything. And what is taqwa? Taqwa is an inward guarding consciousness. Being aware of yourself on the inside. This is something that we're going to get to more at another time. Brother and sister, you look it up when you get a chance. These impulses and urges that I'm speaking to right now, these impulses and urges, do you know that we have millions, even trillions of impulses, urges, appetites? That's why the stars are a symbol of our urges, appetites, and impulses. Stars are a symbol of that. So, and we have all those urges and impulses. And there's a level at which these impulses have motivations of their own. We call them drive. Right, we have drives. We have many, many, many drives, right? And those drives, literally, they have personalities. And in psychology, they're called sub-personalities, right? And so the idea is that there are urges and impulses that want to dominate us, and that's what addictions are made from. Addictions are cases where an impulse has taken over the whole machinery. Right, taking over the old machinery, and so all the intellect and all the mind and all the spirit and all the physicality and all the available energy and resources, that impulse has said, "This is all we're going to do." All right, you can talk about hoarders, you can talk about sex addiction, drug addiction. You can have there are people who are addicted to making money. They're addicted to making money. And so everything is sacrificed in the interest of making money. What I'm saying is that we have all of these, in every urge and every impulse is the potential to be dominated by that urge. It don't matter. Whatever. I don't know, collecting popcorn kernels. I don't know. You know, they have these, there's some, one of these TV programs, that's all they do is just find people with addictions. One person was addicted to eating Scotch tape. Another one was addicted to consuming mattress material. Right? Trust me, I wasn't sitting there watching that stuff. It's just passing through. You see, because I don't got time for that. But it does is reinforces what I'm saying. Okay, so taqwa is you got to watch yourself. And the stuff I got to watch may not be the stuff you have to watch. In you, the stuff I have to watch in me, stuff. I got to watch it. My taqwa got to protect me from my own sub-personalities, urges and appetites, et cetera, that can take domination over, quote unquote, my life, right? Okay, so all that says also, Satan and his hosts watch you from a position that you see them not. Brother and sister, it's very serious. There's another, really the whole subject. This is the end game. This is the end game. You know, I always talk about chess, right? This is the end game. This is the end game. We are at the, when the Bible said, and when the fullness of the Gentile has come in, right? This, we are at the end of an order that was established, grounded on a false narrative and the horse that has been ridden. Now, I'm going to come get some of you symbol conscious people. I'm talking about a horse that's been ridden. That horse, it has been ridden as far as that horse can go. And the object that's intended by the rider of that horse, this is the end game that we're playing right now. And so strategies that if you're not conscious of the potential, that's so much. The high level devilishness that's at work right now. I don't know. Whatever. If you take what I'm saying, I'm not inviting you to be paranoid or anything like that. But I'm inviting you to what's being made to appear as the majority perception. I know you got to unpack that. Do you understand that we're in the world of the master illusion maker? And we're in the world of one who, we got a minute. Let me slow down. Okay, obviously the subject is it's changed, right? So I'm going to, let me switch up a little bit. Yeah. I want to take this. I'm going to go ahead and take this off the screen because right now we're not going to get to it. So terms of the manipulation of I want to talk about the Sidewinder. But also, go and look up the Robber's Cave experiment. Robbers, R-O-B-B-E-R-S, Cave experiment. Look that up and get some sense of it. The Sidewinder, which is what I'm going to mention right now. Let me just tell you exactly how the Sidewinder. So you heard creation-supported social logic, right? You've heard me. These are things you should look up. You should be aware of so that you're walking with this consciousness. The jewel wasp and the caterpillar, and the jewel wasp and the cockroach. These are things you can find these things on YouTube. You need to look at that. See, because there are signs in that to tell us, listen, there are those who read the nature of creation, and they make an evil plan from that, right? And there are those who must also and should read the same thing in creation and know that you have to protect yourself from potential predators who will be using that strategy. They're using it as a, they have an amoral, listen, they have an amoral, meaning a non-moral relationship to what they see in the nature of creation. If I have to be a beast or a monster, if I have to be a predator and I have to prey on you in order to survive as I see myself needing to survive and to survive and to perpetuate my generations, if that means me taking you out, I'm operating on natural, or what I call natural selection, the social Darwinism, the survival of the fittest, et cetera. I'm operating on that. I'm using that. If this is going on in nature, then my attitude is that, okay, well, God said it. God did it. Look at how God does this over here. And who made that? Who made the lion, you know, take over the antelope in that? Who did that? I didn't do it. God did it right there. So what God is telling me is that you got to be that lion so that you can eat and get the antelope. So now they translate that into human terms. Like, look, I'm the lion, you're the antelope. So I'm going to eat your lunch, and you're going to be my lunch, or what have you. Okay, so that's one side. That's one side of the sidewinder. Let me show you how the sidewinder. The sidewinder is a desert snake. And don't miss the immediate connection with that, all right? The sidewinder is a desert snake. And the way that it moves, it goes forward by moving sideways. So, you know, so it looks like it's going forward, but it's going sideways. But it's going forward by going sideways, right? All right. Okay. Desert snake, this sidewinder, it likes geckos. That's geckos, you know, like Geico Gecko. It likes geckos. But geckos say, I know you. It's like, you ain't going to get me. Okay, but over time, evolution, adaptation, natural selection, all the rest of that, selection pressures has caused the gecko to evolve in a certain way and caused the sidewinder to evolve in the gecko. So here's the state of things between the gecko and the sidewinder right now. The sidewinder, the tail of the sidewinder looks like a piece of desert grass. So the sidewinder, when it's doing its predatory moves, what it does, it buries itself down in the sand. And the way that its skin is, it's like it's camouflaged by the nature of the sand anyway. So it's like the little dark speckles of sand and light speckles of sand is like its body, right? And so now the sidewinder, when it's ready to eat, it burrows itself down in sand. So it's right there like eye level. The only thing it really is like above the sand is like the eyes, right? Everything else, all the whole body there. Now at the back end, the sidewinder sticks up its tail, and the tail looks like a piece of desert grass, a piece of desert grass. All right, now, the desert ants, they like desert grass. The ants like desert grass. So the ants are attracted by the bait of the tail of the sidewinder that looks like desert grass. But please recognize, the sidewinder is not after the ant, right? But the ant goes over to the desert grass, thinking that it's desert grass, not knowing that it's the sidewinder's tail. I hope you're listening. Geckos like desert ants. Geckos like desert ants. Oh, yeah, that's a yummy meal for me, the gecko. So then the gecko goes after the ant that's going after the grass that's actually the sidewinder's tail. And as soon as the sidewinder feels the gecko chasing the ant going for the grass, as soon as it feels the gecko on its back, it flips up. And so if the gecko had, at that point, got the ant, then that means that the sidewinder has eaten the gecko and the ant in the gecko, and he still got his tail, and he goes on about his business, all right? So sometimes this shaitan can set up a situation that knows that you have an instinctive response, not a rational response, not a cognitive response. You have a visceral, knee-jerk, impulsive response to situation. So So they will set up a situation that they know you're going to respond, knee-jerk response to it, and that's exactly what we wanted, because that sets up our next play, right? When you go over on this side, we already have a system that's designed to deal with your next reaction, which we have prompted by this false flag operation example for our mention, because the grass, which is the artificial grass of the sidewinder's tail, is the false flag, all right? Causing the ones who first respond to the false flag to attract other bigger objective, which is the plan on the part of the sidewinder. We're not after the ants. We're after the geckos that go after the ants, right? So all this has to do with, yeah, and here's the balance, right? Everything that I'm saying is like, yeah, there's some people, you know, who would or may take that as a reason to just do nothing. Well, you already had a problem before I said what I said. The point is, be vigilant, be conscious, be aware, investigate, as I said, someone had mentioned it before. Sorry, I'm not putting everybody's note up here. The idea is, you know, have somebody to check it out fully and completely and see what the details are. And then when it comes time to respond, then respond accordingly. Respond as a believer. So be conscious. I expect a lot of false flags before this is over. I'm not saying that's what that is. I'm not counting that out as a possibility. Because listen, I could. There's so many. Listen, Muslims. If I was doing the movie thing, African American Muslims, Bilalian Muslims. And I would even have to go as far as saying those associated with the community of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. Allahu alam. But I'll just stick with the Bilali Muslim. I'm not gonna, you know, just go heavy on the on the Imam Muhammad side of it. But you know, that's where I am. Right? African American Muslims, you are on the negative side, some people say, well, they are loose cannon on one side, you know. But on the other side is that you have a mindset and you have a history and you have a relationship to America and to the world of Al-Islam. You have a distinct political posture. You have a distinct religious posture because of the way that you've been taught to read the Quran and the way that you've been taught to perceive the world and the world's history and your own history. That puts you in a position that's like no other in the world. And you know, it's like in these few minutes, I can't detail it, but whatever. There's no shameless plug, but I'm telling you, this is not the first moment that I start thinking about this. I have a publication; it hasn't been published yet, but it's 95% complete. The idea of a new people on the earth, the idea of new people. Yes, Imam Muhammad told us these things. Blah, blah, blah. See, one of the things about Imam Muhammad's teaching is like crude oil. Imam Muhammad's teaching is like crude oil. You understand? Crude oil, or even like diamonds, along with that. It's like diamonds and precious jewels that, you know, that they're in the cave and we have a mine, M-I-N-E and M-I-N-D, full of these precious jewels, these stones and precious metals. And so that is inside of the Imam's teaching. So the Imam's teaching is still like a cave or a mine or a oil field. You still got to put a derrick on that oil field. You still have to have a refinery you have to take that in all of its potential, and you have to refine it to be able to use it in your automobile, to be able to use it in your house, to be able to use it in the other implements and infrastructure in order to build the world. That's what the Imam is, the crude oil. We still have to refine what the Imam is. The Imam is the precious jewels and metals, et cetera. We still have to mine them out. We have to bring those, to put them to use, right? We have to do more of that. And now, naturally, there are efforts in that. You know, there's no both. I'm just saying, you know me, and you've seen what and how I do. So, no both. Let's move on from that. We are a brand new people. Let's just give you just a simple taste, right? And I'm saying all this. Let me see if I can get to the punchline conclusion part. It's like, no, we have to get those black Muslims, excuse me, my language, I've got to zero in. This shaitan in these last days, those who have that autonomous mind and way of thinking and perception and reading of Quran and al-Islam and geopolitics, et cetera, those ones that are not bought into the template reactionary mindset, we can get all the others into our net. But these other folks came, it got that WD-40, you can take it or not. Those that got that, they can still shake things up for us. They can still, you know, create issues for our plan, right? So we need to do something, Desert Grass, to get them running in a certain direction so we can take them off the board. Right. Don't think that that's not enough. We're so far away from thinking like devils. It's like sometimes it hasn't even come into our imagination that, really? Yeah, we couldn't be that important. That's, no, come on now. Man, you're doing too much, man. Y'all all stuck on that WD stuff, man. Okay. Fine. But let me go ahead and say this. We are a new people on this earth. We are a distinct people. We were not made by the world. Whatever we were made before by the world, all that was transferred, all that was translated in the threefold process. Farah did what he did. Elijah Muhammad did what he did. Imam W. Muhammad did what he did. Now we are free and obligated to live out all of that energy that's been put into, I hope you can appreciate this, all of that energy that has come from Farad, he, and Hayden, whatever, in his design, that energy that was built up in those 400 years and abstracted from the great movement that had varying levels and degrees of success with us, and he created a formula that transferred that essential energy to what was the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Imam Muhammad to go in, abstract the core of the energy that was abstracted from that history and apply that insight and that energy to the Quran and the life model of Prophet Muhammad, which itself, so now we're talking catalyst. If you can see W.D. Farad as a catalyst, and if you can see Elijah Muhammad as a catalyst, and you can see that knowledge as a catalyst for releasing the energy, the force, the power, the light that's in the Quran. The Quran was already and is already amongst us, but was it emitting the kind of energy and force and power that you see? See, if you're looking for structures, we're still working on that. But there are individuals I can point to places in New York. I can point to places in D.C. If you wanna see physical things, that's it. That's it. But those are just eruptions that come from a limited number. I know there's other places, and I know it's risky to mention some and not mention others. But mashallah, yeah. So the point is that the biggest thing that Imam Muhammad did for us was free our thinking and free us to read the revelation and to read the creation. That knowledge and apply it in the world. So it's like, no, if you're only looking for the physical representation, you can find many physical representations. You can find, I know young men, I don't know so much as women, but young men who are operating at multi-million dollar levels of ownership and investment, et cetera, that are the children of FOI and MGT right now, doing more in their personal life and situation than the whole Nation of Islam was doing at the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Tell me. So it's like, where is it coming from? It's coming from the energy released by Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah, unlocking the power in the freedom of mind, heart, spirit that came from the speciation. I was creeping up to it, and I didn't finish saying speciation. Look that up. Look that. Whenever I say look that up, you should look that up. If you're interested in it, you should look that up. Speciation. Because when you understand speciation, you understand that there is a biological, formal, scientific foundation for our saying we are a new people on the earth. We are a new people on the earth. I'm talking about in a bona fide, concrete, anthropological, physiological, new people. So it's a new vessel with new and free, independent, liberated grasp on al-Islam, i.e. the Quran and the Uswa of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, applied in the contemporary circumstances with the freedom that is had in this country that you actually cannot find the freedom for al-Islam in other countries in the way that you can find it here. So many things that are must and givens for students and associates of Imam Muhammad that might get you put in jail in any of the other countries. You name it, they get you put in jail in some other Muslim country. Speciation, S-P-E-C-I-A-T-I-O-N, speciation. And you can find this in if you read it. I'm just talking to those read the Quran, 49:13, where Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said He created you from a pair of a male and female, and made of you nations and tribes that you may know one another. How do nations and tribes get made? Just literally, I mean, anthropologically, biologically, physiologically, culturally, how do nations and tribes get made? That's a study. You've got to study that, right? So tempting. I'm just going to go ahead and take 2-3 minutes here, just since this is the way that we went. The tribe of Shabazz, right? We call it the tribe of Shabazz. Okay, so there's the mythology that made us, that so we call us the tribe of Shabazz. We think Shabazz, that Farad made up Shabazz. Or there's some who believe, no disrespect, look, hey, Let's move on. Whatever. It is what it is. We think Shabbat, that was the first time that was said. When we read Mace of the Black Man, we were told that Yaqub's blah, blah. You know, when we tried to blow up, when somebody tried to blow up the earth and all the rest of that. That's not the first time that Shabazz. That's not the first time that Shabazz. I'm going to leave with this. You'll only go looking for it if you really committed to it, right? And so I'm not going to just give it away. If you're going to go search, then here's what you do. Find out, what do Orthodox Jews do on the beginning of the Sabbath and on the Sabbath day, their Sabbath day? I think it's called a Shabbat, right? Whatever. Shabbat, that's not the key. So just because they're Shabbat, that's not the key. The key is, how do Orthodox Jews get around the issue of not working on the Sabbath day? How do they get around the issue of not working on the Sabbath day? How do they do that? I'm going to give you a hint. Elvis Presley was one. President Barack Hussein Obama, before he was president, Barack Hussein Obama. These are two that come to mind right away. They played that role before they were famous. It's not because they're famous. This is before they were famous. They served in that role for Orthodox Jews who wanted to get around or needed to get around not being able to work on the Sabbath day. If you find that, if you find what that is, then you got a key. Then there's just one more step after that. Then you'll find from that the key. Where, this was the tactic that God was using to get around breaking the Sabbath in al-Islam. He did the same thing. He used their strategy. And some of you remember in the Elijahville talk, I believe it was the Elijahville talk, where the imam was saying that Farad was a Jew, right? Something to that effect, that he was a Jew. And of course, you know, the imam says what he says for, you know, his students who, you know, let him who has an ear, let him hear, right? So, yeah, I know we kind of went several places today, but mashallah, that's where we needed to go, I believe. I hope that there's been sufficient. Let me close with this other thing here. Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, death is the gift of Allah to the believer. Death is that, see, we don't believe like the Trinitarians, or yeah, the Trinitarians have been given, like death is a curse. No. In al-Islam, death is not a curse, not for a believer. It's of Allah, for the believer. Right? Because what Allah has preserved for the believer, both the Christian doctrine, I believe it's Bible too, but the doctrine says the eye hasn't seen, the ear hasn't heard, and it hasn't entered into the heart of man to conceive what Allah has on reserve for his believer. For what's available in this world, all this world, and everything in it could not compensate in a manner that Allah is going to compensate and reward those who believe in this world. But you can't get it in this world. You can't get it in this world. You have to die. You have to leave this world in order to get what Allah has reserved for you. So when Allah takes that life, then it's a gift from Allah to the believer. Come on, get your reward. This life was a trial. The whole thing was a trial. The whole thing was a test. This is not the place of reward. You can get the excellent things in this world and excellent things and pray for the excellent things to come, but what the good that you get in this world, alhamdulillah, it's only a faint reflection, if that much, of what Allah has reserved for the believer. So passing from this world is not a curse or a punishment. Yes, we experience it as tragic and this and that, but inshallah, for believers, it's a blessing. It's like, come on, I got something for you. So Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam. So mashallah, person headed for Fajr, that sounds like the behavior of a believer to me. And Allah uses different, he uses martyrdom, he uses the death of significant individuals in order to catalyze other things that need to be catalyzed. And Allah is never unjust to any of his creatures. So always remember, you know, keep the clarity, the perception, the aqidah, the perception of Allah and the role of our beliefs in our consciousness, so you don't get thrown off, so you don't take the wrong path, right? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our brother Imam Hassan Sharif for what he has promised, and Allah never fails in his promise. And may Allah bless us to be alive and awake and conscious and persevering in the best possible way through the usri and the yusr, so that we can, with our lives in this world, move the project of building Ummah further and further with Allah's help and guidance. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ameen, Allahumma Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.